Good morning, Mosaic. Happy Father's Day, all you dads out there. And glad we could all be together today, both here and online. And lots in store today as we close down the book of Colossians. So there are 95 verses in the book of Colossians, and we've covered 94 of them so far. And so we'll fit in the last one. And how we're going to do this is a little bit different. We're actually going to do a highlight reel of sorts in each chapter. So we'll have a highlight from 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so it's, you know, we like that. We like to experience somewhere where we've been. It's part of our culture. I mean, ESPN has made a living out of this, right? Like, you have this game that is played, and then they pull out all of the highlights out of the game, and then you rewatch it. Confession time. How many of you have on your DVR like a game that's seriously like 3 or 4 years old, and you go back to it periodically during the off season and you watch said game? Come on, who's got that on the DVR? One truth teller. All right, one truth teller. Two truth tellers. All right. I do that. I'm guilty of that because there's something about when you experience something exciting, meaningful, and then you get to relive that again because you want to experience that again. So we're going to do that here in Colossians because we jumped into this book back in January of this year. And so here we are 6 months later, and we're going to wrap up this incredible book that we've journeyed through together. And so we're also going to do something very different. And what's going to happen is as we go through the highlight reel in chapter 1, then one of our elders is going to come up and he's going to pray over us and for us after you've had a chance to pray individually in the quietness of your seat. So you'll have just a little bit of time by yourself to hang out with God, and we'll give you a prompt for that prayer. And then one of our elders is going to come out, and then they will pray over and for us. And here's why that's exciting. Check this out. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says this: "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." So here's what we can expect today, that as we are praying individually and as we pray corporately, as our elders come out, the prayer of a righteous person has power. Then we ought to expect that God is going to meet us here in significant ways as we all enter the throne room of God together. Amen? Like, we should be expectant that he's going to show up in an unmistakable way. So that's one of the reasons I'm super excited about today. And so we're going to get to live in that space as God meets us here. And so, you ready? Colossians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to be in the ESV version if you would like to follow along. And same thing online, if you'd like to go ahead and take out your Bible, that's where we're going to be. So remember, this letter was written to this early church. The supremacy of Jesus was being challenged, and so he writes this letter. Paul writes this letter to this early church to make sure that we understood that there is none other. There is no one greater. There is nothing else we need to look at beyond the supremacy of Jesus and how that impacts our lives. And then we're going to explore that in the highlight reel today, but let's finish the 95th verse here, the end of Colossians. Chapter 4, verse 18 says, "I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you." So back in the day, what would happen is Paul would have dictated this to somebody, and they would have written it down. So as they're writing it down, he's just like calling it out. They're writing this letter. He sent it with Tychicus and Onesimus and take that to the church. But this last verse, this is in his own hand. He's writing this. And so then he gives us some personal things here. And he says this incredible final statement with some personal touch. He says, "Remember my chains." This is the value of the gospel to him. This is he's holding it up with such value. They said, I'm having a circumstance in my own personal life that is challenging. And he holds the gospel with such value that he's in this challenging situation that he's showing once again, just kind of giving his parting shot that, hey, the sufficiency of Jesus is enough. Like, it's all consuming, so much so that I'm betting my life on it, and I'm right now in prison as a result of my desire to follow after Jesus. And so we get to see that one last time, this value of the gospel, knowing that it has been a challenge for followers of Jesus, It is a challenge for followers of Jesus, and it always will be as we boldly proclaim truth that doesn't always go well. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, and there's a whole lot in between. But he's saying, no, I'm going to value the gospel so much, but remember my chains, because this is what's going on. So it brings us back to chapter 1. And chapter 1's highlight reel, remember, as we jumped into this book back in January, we learned about this prayer of thanksgiving that Paul had, and then this incredible prayer where he is praying over this early church, and then he launches into this significant section of verses in chapter 1. If you want to peel back, this is the highlight reel from chapter 1, starting in verse 15. He's speaking of Jesus. He is the invisible image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Some versions say that he might have the supremacy. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Guys, this is who Jesus is. It's not who we think he is. Somebody's not just like, I was kind of thinking about Jesus today, and let me write a few thoughts down. It's not who some other theologian says he is. It's not what human tradition or human ritual says. It is who God says Jesus is. So we can take that one to the bank right there. And that's of monumental importance, because what it is a right belief. It's establishing right belief, and out of right belief flows right living, not the other way around. And oftentimes what we do in our spiritual lives is to try to maintain some level of momentum by right living, instead of letting right living flow out of right belief. Because a lot of times we can find ourselves in that space where we're like, well, I'm going to do some good things. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. I'm going to do all these good things that in and of themselves, they're good things. There are things that we can definitely engage in, but it's easy to try to maintain our spiritual momentum that way instead of going back to our right belief and letting the truth of who Jesus is and all that he has done, all that he leads us in, all that he invites us into, letting that fuel us rather than the other way around, where our right living, where we think, oh, well, this ought to change everything for me. But it doesn't. It doesn't, but right belief does. Right belief leads to right living, and that's where we begin to see incredible things happen as we are called to follow Jesus and stay connected to the vine. So that highlight reel there, it's good to remember that, because Paul gives us this right belief, the foundation that everything else will settle on. And so what we're going to do here in just a moment is we're going to pray in the quietness of our seat for about 30 seconds. And after each chapter, we'll do that. So for about 30 seconds or so, I just want you to pray and just thank God. Express your gratitude to God that he saw fit to let these words make their way a couple thousand years later, that we get to know exactly who Jesus is. There is no, I wonder what he's like. There it is, right there. We can take that to the bank. And then what will happen is we're going to have one of our elders, Paul. He's going to come out and he's going to close down chapter 1 and help us to see yet again that Jesus is enough. You don't have to attach any philosophy to it. No ideology, no human tradition. Jesus is supreme. He is enough. So in the quietness of your seat right now, just express your gratitude to God, thanking him that he has given us that. And then Paul will come out and close down chapter 1.
you pray with me? Is this thing on? Would you pray with me? Father God, we join in with the angels right now and shout, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Thank you, Father, that you so graciously gave us your word and the truth it reveals of who your Son Jesus is. Jesus, you are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by you, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Jesus, your supremacy has no limits. You are above presidents and kings, kingdoms and governments. There is not one inch of this earth that you do not have supremacy. You are before all things. You hold everything together. All things were created through you and for you, and in you dwells all the fullness of God. You are the head of the church, and one day you will reconcile all things to yourself. As we humbly bow before you, we ask boldly that Mosaic Church would be rooted in you, Jesus. We pray that we would be a people who seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, so that you may graciously bestow upon us the wisdom and the knowledge we need to walk in step with your will. May we be a people who strive to set our minds on the things above and not on earthly things. There is nothing that this world can offer that is better than the glory that will one day be revealed to us. Thank you that you chose us to love us despite our foolishness. May Mosaic Church be a church that imitates your love for us to one another. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, move among us. In your Son's precious name we ask. Amen.
Thanks, Paul. So good to be reminded that that right belief needs to be established. That as we understand the supremacy of Jesus, out of that then leads us to chapter 2, where we learned more about this outflow of right living and what that begins to look like. So in chapter 2, we see in verse 6 and following, Paul writes this to the early church, and the Spirit had him write this down that now we get to read it a couple thousand years later. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Because Jesus is supreme, out of that flows this understanding that now with that truth, we are to be rooted deeply in that truth. That as that begins to be deeply rooted in us, we're not tossed to and fro by whatever the world may throw at us, whatever story mankind may come up with, or even the enemy of God that would cause us to take our eyes off of Jesus. Guys, if we're going to finish the race well, you and I have to be so ruthlessly committed to this lifelong journey of deep discipleship that it's like, what do I need to do here that would help me to live out this truth, to follow Jesus more passionately, to keep my eyes on him, to abide in Christ, where we are wooed to become a student of this book? That we would become so entrenched in this book that we would extract truth from this book and build our lives on it and let this read us, so that when we come across things in this book, we're like, okay, this has authority over me. I don't look like that. I don't think like that. That isn't my trajectory, so I guess I need to adjust. This book helps us to do that. So when we build our lives on the truth of how God has revealed himself, then we see that this has authority in our lives. It's the primary way that God speaks to us. This is the primary way here in 2021. It's like, I want to hear from God. Pick this up and read it. He speaks through this book. It is alive. It's active. And he speaks to us here, and he's revealing his heart and his mind and his plans and his purpose and displaying his majesty and revealing over and over and over what it looks like for us to join him in that work. And so what happens is as we are rooted in that, then those roots begin to go down deep, and then the fruit erupts out of our lives as we are rooted deeply in that, because it's all built back here on that belief. That right belief leads to right living. And so in just a moment, you're going to pray again. Pastor Rick is going to come out. He's our discipleship pastor, and he's going to pray over and for us that these things would, that they would just begin to take root in us, that we would become a lifelong disciple, a lifelong learner of the things of Jesus, and that we would be ultimately transformed. Because, guys, we need God. We need him. Apart from him, the word tells us that we can do nothing, absolutely nothing. And so spend a moment praying and asking God to reveal himself and what it looks like for you to be rooted in him, so that you can see what the next step may be as you become a lifelong learner. And then Pastor Rick will close down chapter 2.
Father, thank you first of all for that gift of our precious salvation and for being willing to make that move and to carry out the plan that cost you so much so that we would not have to live without you. Help us as your children, whom you love beyond words, to grasp that this walk of the Christian life is more than just simply knowing what to believe. It begins there, but it's just so much more than that. Father, you say in your precious word that even the demons know that Jesus is Lord and they tremble. Help us to actually live out the gospel message in our everyday decisions, in our actions, in our communications, our words, our thoughts, even our motivations. Help the gospel and its redemptive message to just ooze from our pores and inform everything that we do. Lord, teach us how to grow in you, how to abide with you. Help us to grasp who you really are and who we really are in you, and not settle for what we want to see or believe. Help us to passionately pursue the truth. May that drive us to fall in love with you like we've never experienced before. Lord, we need wisdom and we need understanding. As we've learned in Colossians, we need the ability to discern between deceptive worldviews and philosophies that this culture adopts and boldly proclaims, and biblical teaching and gospel-centric way of living. Show us how to see this world. Show us how to speak the truth in love. Make us ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors, faithful ambassadors of you, Lord. We ask this, Father, because we want our lives to make a difference, and we want them to be well spent to make the name of Jesus great. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Chapter 3 highlight reel was amazing. One of my favorite sections of scripture that we've been able to dive into in recent years. And so let's hit the highlight reel from chapter 3 as Paul continues on in this journey. So he set in motion supremacy of Christ, letting that be rooted in our lives. And then he launches this out. Chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, so if you are a follower of his, then this is how you are to move. Next, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, I love that, this challenge that comes as we begin to be led into this space of practicality, where we take this awesome theological reality of the supremacy of Christ being rooted in our lives, that it ought lead us to cast our vision where Jesus is, and not be so consumed with all of the distractions that this world has, but rather when we keep our eyes on him, then where he is and all that is going on where he is right now, where he is worshiped and proclaimed as leader, Lord, Savior, King, Master, that all of that reality begins to profoundly affect down here. And as it begins to affect things down here, then what happens is our marriages are transformed. Husband and wife begin to interact with each other differently now that the gospel is taking root in our lives. And parents and children interact with each other differently. Employers and employees interact with each other differently as people who are Christ followers in all of those spaces begin to show fruit of that evidence of Christ being supreme. As that right belief impacts our lives, then everything starts changing. And not only that, how secure we are in that. Remember the boxes? Remember the boxes? If you weren't here for the boxes, we are Christ is in us and we are in Christ and Christ is hidden in God. It's like this impenetrable, you know, force field around us. Can't be touched. We are so secure in Christ. It's an amazing gift that he has given us. But that highlight reel, man, like this is, it's such a great reminder that these truths that are in chapter 3, that Jesus has started an amazing work and he is going to continue that work until we resemble him in every way for his glory and for our good. Where the old life is gone and the new life has come. And so we get to live in that space as that belief begins to flow into right living. And so I would invite you to just pray in these next few moments in the quietness of your seat, just thanking God that the old is gone and the new is coming. And what is it that he is inviting you into? What is still in the process of transformation that you need his help? And some of you may be in here and go, I don't know about the old and the new thing yet. I'm still kind of exploring this. Then you can pray and ask God to reveal himself with such clarity that you would understand what it looks like to join the family of God through what Jesus has done on your behalf. And if you have any questions about that, over on this wall at the end of our gathering, you can come over, ask any question, and we'll pray with you and help you find the answers to the questions that you may have. But you can spend just a few moments praying right now that God would reveal to you what the next step would look like, whether you are already on board or whether you're still searching for that truth. And then Pastor Danny is going to come after that, and he's going to close down chapter 3. He's our Disney campus pastor, and he's going to pray over and for us and just invite us into this space where God is going to move unmistakably. So spend a few moments, and then Pastor Danny will close out chapter 3.
Father, thank you for a new life resurrected by you, new freedom paid for by you, and a new mind transformed by you. I recognize that my mind is rarely, if ever, perfectly set on you, but I am humbled to gratitude that by the power of your Spirit, I can day by day learn to set my mind on the things that are above. I thank you for my new identity, my new self that you have secured, my true self that I was meant to be all along, a self defined not by anger, division, or my broken desires, a self defined instead by a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I'm not there yet, but my gratitude expands as I realize this is exactly who you are forming me to become, and this could work. Jesus alone will complete in me. But not only for me, but for this beautiful biblical community. This is a story that you desire to write through each one of us, both those of us who already know, love, and follow Jesus, and for those of us who have yet to discover their belovedness in him. So I lift up thanks for this work that you are doing, transforming us, renewing us, giving us our new and true identity. And we desire that our true identities in Christ would transform every aspect of our lives. So Father, help even our prayer lives to reflect this, that husbands would pray for their wives and wives would pray for their husbands, that parents would pray for their kids and their kids would pray for their parents, that employers would pray for their employees and their employees would do the same, and that we would in all these things be captivated by you in every moment. And to Jesus be all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. Yeah.
Thanks, Danny. One more chapter. And as we head into this final chapter, that right belief of Jesus as supreme being rooted in our lives that then begins to show itself very practically in every area now invites us to join God wherever he is at work. And he is at work all corners of the globe, actively drawing men, women, and children to himself. And as he is out there working, now it's our invitation to open our eyes and to see where he may be working and what he's inviting us into. And we partner with him, and in partnering with him, we're also partnering with others who are joining him in that story from all over the globe. And so we get to see this play out in chapter 4, and we see this in chapter 4, verse 2, where Paul writes this down to the early church. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." Then he offers this encouragement to them, this challenge. "Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." See, we are going to move from out of here today, and we are invited to look around where God is working and to go into those relationships with boldness, with clarity, to be winsome in that space, to be encouraging, and to go into every environment where God may be working, and just to be prepared to share the truth of who Jesus is and all that he has done. That right belief would influence our life to the point where we would be open to share the truth with anyone that we may cross paths with. As we join God in that work, we've been invited into that journey. And so in just a moment, Pastor Javier Antique's going to come out. He leads our Mosaic Latino ministry here at Mosaic. And so it's going to be a little bit different, okay? So you may not know this, but every gathering, every 11-17 gathering, every single week, when there is someone who is communicating up here, then there are people who grab a little headset out in the lobby. There are Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters. So while somebody is preaching here, like right now, there is somebody in another room taking what I'm saying and actively translating it and interpreting it. So people right now are listening in their native tongue to what I am saying. So what we're going to do is Pastor Javier is going to come out and he's going to pray in Spanish. And then you're like, "Well, I don't speak Spanish. What am I going to do?" Hey, no worries. There's going to be a simultaneous translation right up on the screen in English for all of us who are not Spanish speakers so that we can experience what our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters do on a weekly basis. Because God is actively working all over the planet to Spanish speakers and Mandarin speakers and Japanese speakers, and all languages and tribes and tongues are hearing the truth of the gospel. And so we get to celebrate that today as Pastor Javier comes out and he will pray over and for us. But before we go there, would you just pray this in the quietness of your seat, that God would reveal to you in the spheres of influence that you have who he may want you to move into boldly and clearly and encouraging ways, winsome ways, go into those relationships and share the gospel. And then Pastor Javier will close down chapter 4 for us.
Señor, danos la valentía y la humildad para ser el pueblo que vive, respira y demuestra el Evangelio donde quiera que vamos o estemos. Y permite que nuestras vidas y acciones sean un reflejo de la increíble obra de Jesús en nuestras vidas. Ayúdanos a usar cada oportunidad, cada interacción, cada conversación, permitiendo que tu Espíritu Santo nos guíe en cómo y cuándo hablar la verdad en amor, a amar sin barreras y a perdonar sin guardar ningún rencor. Ayúdanos a convertirnos en la comunidad, en la gente que vive por Jesús de tal manera que la gente venga y nos pregunte por qué vivimos como vivimos y que sean agregados más y más a este increíble movimiento que ha estado revolucionando el mundo entero desde el comienzo de la iglesia. Nosotros, tu gente, humanos imperfectos, perdonados por ti y recipientes de una gracia incondicional que nos lava todos los días con incansable amor y misericordia a pesar de nuestras fallas, quienes hemos sido invitados a participar contigo para demostrarle al mundo y a cada persona a que puedan experimentar ese amor y misericordia que está transformando nuestras vidas y nos motiva a vivir de la manera en que vivimos. Por ti, Jesús. Amén.
So Paul ends it again with verse 18, where he says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. He lands in a very personal way, in a very touching way. And what he does here at the very end is he's reminding us yet again that this cost him his very life. Like, he was willing to lay his life on the line, and we are invited into the same journey. And so this letter made its way to the early church in Colossae, and it's made its way here, and it's challenged us over these last 6 months. And it ends very simply and very profoundly as he said this, grace be with you. And so for us, personally and corporately, we want to end it the same way, and that we would be encouraged and blessed with the same benediction, that grace would be with each one of you, and that grace would be with us, Mosaic Church. Amen and amen.